I continue our study of Koinonia today, it is important for us to understand what the Word has to say to us. The degree to which we hear, understand, retain, and persevere in living it out will determine whether or not we succeed as Christians or miss the mark. When you go on Amazon, you find a lot of knockoffs, don't you?
Yes.
For everything that you want to buy that might be a genuine item, it seems like there are 50 different knockoffs. Now, a knockoff might work in a pinch. And you might look good walking down the street carrying a knockoff Gucci handbag. Ah, but there's going to be someone who can tell the real article and know that you are just carrying around a fake. In our study last week, we saw that Koinonia is at the heart of Christian identity. Authentic Christian identity is rooted in the nature of God and in the work of Christ formed through the Holy Spirit. That's true about everything. We only get it right if we know that it's rooted in God. We only get it right if He is the pattern and He is the source. We do it any other way, and we're a knockoff. We're a fake replication of the real thing. In other words, the evidence that we are truly Christians is that we look like Him, live like Him, and love like Him. Look like Him, live like Him, and love like Him. One of the things that we emphasized last week is that true koinonia characterizes the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They exist together in infinite and unbroken fellowship. They have absolute intimacy with one another. They live for each other. They live with each other. Their fellowship is eternally unbroken. You and I, the Bible tells us, have been brought into participative sharing. It's one of the definitions of koinonia. Participative sharing. And we have been brought into this participative sharing in Christ. We share in His life. We share in His work. He died for us. He gave His life for us. We put our faith in Him, and His work on our behalf atones for our sin and makes us right with God. Remember the words from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16. Is not the cup that we share a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread we share a participation in the body of Christ? A koinonia. And when the Holy Spirit is truly influencing our lives, our relationship with other believers will reflect the relationship and the fellowship that characterizes the Godhead. It really can't be any other way. If I am truly in Christ and Christ is in me, then Christ will come out. But if I am not truly in Christ, and if Christ is not filling me, then another fruit is going to come out of me. Jesus emphasized this. And He said, it's what comes out of a man that defiles him. It is what is in a heart that is revealed when he opens his mouth, when you look at his life. And so Jesus said, make the tree good, and the fruit will be good. But if the tree is not made good, the fruit will be bad. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches, you must abide in me, for without me you can't do anything. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you will bear much fruit to the Father's glory, proving yourselves to be true followers of me. When we look at the account of Acts chapter 4, it reveals to us that the way that we live in relationship with other believers is an indication of the level of the Holy Spirit and His influence on our lives. Read those words. Look at them. After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. All the believers were united in heart and mind. And they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything that they had. Extraordinary. Have you ever seen something like this, as described here? They prayed. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were united in heart and mind, and no one felt that what they owned belonged to them. It belonged to everybody else. They were influenced by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. Turn on our TVs and we can find any number of DIY channels, right? Do it yourself. But a lot of do-it-yourself efforts turn out to be disastrous. And let me tell you that there is nothing more disastrous than DIY Christianity. Here's a warning label that you need to put on your hand, put on the mirror in your bathroom. Remind yourself of it every single day. Beware of the insidious tendency to curate your own spiritual experience. What does the word curate mean? Someone who runs a museum or an art gallery is a curator. They decide what will be put on display. They organize it. Beware of the tendency to organize your own spiritual life. We have a sinful, individualistic nature. Every one of us do. And every one of us is therefore chronically inclined to shape our own spiritual identity and our own spiritual journey. To decide what, where, when, how is best for me. Where I will go to church, when I will go to church. When I will be with other believers, when I will read the word, whether I will do it by myself with someone else, whether I will do other things. Because of that tendency within us, Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Following Jesus is not a DIY project. Despite the fact that the majority of Christians make it a DIY effort, it is not. It begins, Jesus said, with forsaking every other identity. Your cultural identities, your family identity, your personal identity. Yes, Jesus means it. Forsaking every other identity, because any other identity will compete with Jesus. He did not mean something theoretical that we don't actually apply. He means that we need to surrender everything. The thing that we do not surrender will trip us up. The thing that we do not surrender will take our time, our energy, our focus away from the priorities of Christ. Jesus said, "Anyone who does not take up his cross cannot follow me." The cross is not a symbol of life. It's a symbol of what? Death. Specifically, death to one's self. But you can't get to life except through death. Jesus said, except a seed fall into the ground and die, it can't bring forth fruit. You and I experience his resurrection because first he died. And if you and I want to experience the life of Christ, we must first die. We are not exempt from death. No, anyone who wants to follow me, Jesus said, must die. Die to self, take up their cross, and follow me. It is the only way to a life that is far more valuable and far more purposeful than any life that we could live on our own, the Christ life. And it's only when all else, including self and individual choice, is forsaken, that we are free to follow Christ. Remember how Jesus encountered different people and he said, "One, come, follow me." "Well, Lord, I just bought a field. I expanded my business. I need to give that my attention right now." To another, "Come, follow me. I just got married. I can't leave and follow you. Come, follow me. As soon as my parents have died, then I'll be free from my family constraints and I'll follow you." And Jesus said, "You're not worthy of me. You are not worthy of me." Understand this, dear friends. Until we take the words of Jesus for what they mean, we are not worthy of him. We want to be worthy of Jesus. We want to live a life that makes us worthy, as he said, to stand before him. Pray that your life won't be weighed down, distracted by this, that, and the other, but that you will be counted worthy to stand before the Son of Man. Let's come back to this idea of koinonia. Koinonia at its root means common. It means sharing. It means fellowship. It means participative sharing, engaging with one another. It represents intimacy. It represents close association. And the reality is that all of us are already engaged in various kinds of koinonia, some of which have a very dominating influence on our identity. So, for example, if you are participating in sports, you are engaged in koinonia, in something that is common, in something that is shared, in something that you participate with others. It might be cultural and ethnic. Today, 71,000 people are going together in M&T Stadium, along with millions of others online, and they are going to engage in football koinonia. Really? They will be passionate about it. They will be fervent about it. They will share the experience together. You will see them in the stands. When the Ravens score, they'll be jumping up and down and high-fiving like it involved them personally. When there is a fumble by the Ravens or an interception, they will be dejected. Deeply involved, deeply connected, deeply sharing. Koinonia. It's part of our lives in many different ways. But the question is, are we engaged in biblical koinonia? And to what extent are we engaged in biblical koinonia? Because if biblical koinonia does not characterize our relationships and our identity, it really does beg the question, am I in Christ? Am I really in Christ? When we began this study, I shared with you that the very first instance of koinonia is in Acts chapter 2. And we read these words that they were devoted to koinonia. The context is the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit is poured out. Peter stands and preaches, and he proclaims the good news about Jesus. He goes through prophecy after prophecy from the Old Testament, showing that Jesus was the fulfillment, the Messiah, the anointed one, the anticipated one. When he came to the end of his sermon, the people were so convicted that they cried out, "What do we need to do to be saved?" And Peter said, "Repent and believe." You see, it's the work of the Holy Spirit to reveal Christ and to guide us into Christ's truthfulness. Jesus said, when this Spirit comes, the Counselor comes, He will speak about Me and He will guide you into all truth. The people that day on the day of Pentecost were experiencing what Jesus had described. The Holy Spirit was opening their eyes, revealing their sin, revealing the desperate place that they were in because their faith was not in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were convicted. They were drawn to Christ. They repented. And the more that you and I become like Christ, the more that we will be drawn into deeper fellowship with one another. Amen. Understand that dynamic. The more that you and I become like Christ, the more we will be drawn into deeper fellowship with one another. Turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul begins this chapter by talking about those of us who have been raised with Christ and we experience His life. In verse 9, "Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds." Verse 10, "Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him." Look at that. Put on your new nature. Be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Verse 11, "In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters." Amen. Not some other identity, not my cultural, my ethnic background, not some other effort that I am engaged in. Remember, Jesus said, "You must leave every other identity to follow Me." Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Notice what happens if we live that way in Christ. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Amen. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you were called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ, in all its richness, fill your hearts. Teach and counsel one another with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Notice how, if we are in Christ, the results will be seen in our relationships with one another. Again, the more that we become like Christ, the more we will be drawn into deeper fellowship with one another. The reverse needs to be clarified for us. Or if we aren't drawn into deeper fellowship with one another, it's because we are remaining like ourselves. When we become more like Jesus Christ, koinonia will be the result. Automatically, becoming more like Christ, it will flow out of us. Intimate fellowship and relationship with one another. Walking together spiritually. Sharing the same spiritual commitment. Living Christ together as a visible sharing, as a visible spiritual community. Remember, the Bible teaches us that our koinonia is a reflection of the koinonia that exists between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit, we will be drawn into Godhead-like koinonia with one another. I am the vine, and you are the branches. The branch produces whatever fruit it is attached to. Our lives will produce whatever fruit it is attached to. Again, this is why Jesus said, you must leave everything else and be solely attached to me. In Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, we read these words. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number, what? Daily. Those who were being saved. Amen. This is an extraordinary account. It immediately follows the day of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. These people are living this way because they are filled with the Holy Spirit. We read, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. We are inclined as Christians and as churches to create rules-based discipleship. You must do this, you must do that. Some of us grew up during a time when you must wear this. You cannot wear that. By the way, those things are still important. For my senior year of high school, I left the high school here in the city I was going to, and I went to a Christian school in Harford County because I knew that the Lord had called me to ministry, and so the vocation that I was pursuing in high school here would not get me to what the Lord wanted for me. And so I left that. I went to a Christian high school. They had a rule about hair. I used to go to Tony Trotta, an Italian barbershop down on Urban Avenue, for a razor cut. $10 at the time. That was a lot of money. And I had just gone to get a razor cut. I was looking good. And I went to the school. And the principal came around and said, "You know, your hair is touching your ears. It is too long." And along with me and a half a dozen other guys, he loaded us up in the school van, drove us into Bel Air to a barber who sheared our hair off of our ears down to the appropriate length for going to that Christian high school. Didn't make me any more spiritual. Didn't help fulfill the will of God in my life. Didn't draw more of the Holy Spirit in me. But it made me look more holy. Devoted to is not a mandated result. The apostles did not say to people, "Now you must be devoted to our teaching. You must be devoted to fellowship with one another." It was not the result of their works. It was the result of the presence of the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit. The Spirit overflowed. The Spirit flowed out of them. Remember, Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit comes, out of you will flow rivers of living water. Amen. You know when a believer is a dry well, a stagnant well, or whether they are truly filled with the Holy Spirit. When they open their mouths, when you talk to one another, you know whether someone has been in the presence of Jesus and been drawing near to Him. The Holy Spirit, remember, draws and attracts us to Christ. Jesus said, "When He comes, He will speak of me." When you and I are in Christ, self is lost. And koinonia takes center stage. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. Look at these verses. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You see, when you and I are truly filled with the Holy Spirit, we will be attracted beyond ourselves. When you and I are truly filled with the Holy Spirit, we will be attracted beyond ourselves. Amen. Most people, including most Christians, never get past themselves. It's about me. It's about what I want to do. It's about what is important to me. And even their decisions about relationships within the body of Christ, times of ministry, the will of God, is shaped by what matters to me. That DIY spirituality. I determine who, what, when, where in following Christ. But the Holy Spirit exalts Jesus. And when I am filled with the Holy Spirit, I am attracted beyond me. Look what happened in Acts chapter 2. They were attracted to the Word. Remember, the Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. If you are attracted to the Word of God, it is because the Holy Spirit is at work in you. But listen, if you can lay your Bible aside and go days without reading it, something is very wrong. You are empty of the Holy Spirit. Because they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were attracted to the Word, and they devoted themselves to hearing and learning the Word together. They were attracted beyond themselves to one another. And they devoted themselves to the koinonia, to the sharing of spiritual life together. They were attracted to the needs of one another. And they devoted all that they owned to meeting each other's needs. Understand this. Cost becomes irrelevant when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. We see it in the life of Jesus. The cost was irrelevant. He went to the cross willingly on our behalf. And when you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit, cost becomes irrelevant. Their visible everyday togetherness attracted others to their fellowship and ultimately to salvation. They were together every day. People take notice whether or not we gather together or not. In my many years of being associated with leaders in the police department and in the government of Baltimore City, the common complaint is churches are empty all week long. No one is there doing anything. And then they come together just themselves, and then they leave. You see, the world notices when we aren't together. Nothing can happen spiritually in the world when we aren't together. And it was because they were visibly together every day. It attracted people to their fellowship and ultimately to salvation. The Lord added daily to the church those who were being saved. That is exactly what Jesus prayed would happen with his followers. On the night before Jesus died, he prayed this prayer. I pray also for those who will believe in me through the apostles' message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. That they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me. Amen. You see, the level of revelation in the world depends on the level of unity in the body of Christ. There is a spiritual correlation. If we are infrequently together, we will have little spiritual presence, little spiritual impact. We will make little spiritual difference. They were together every day, and people were getting saved every day. Listen, friends, we will get according to our investment. We said last week that now the average attendance in America is 3 times in 2 months. And you are considered a regular church attender if you come to church 3 times in 2 months. Does that meet the biblical paradigm? Is that going to produce fruit? Are people going to get saved? Is the world going to be impacted? That's DIY Christianity. But it's also ineffective. To a group of people who held on to multiple identities and different kinds of koinonia, you can read about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul said, "Follow my example as I follow Christ." And Paul could say that because as he wrote to the Philippians, he had trashed every other identity. And he listed them. His ethnic background, his cultural exclusiveness, his educational background, his career opportunities. He trashed them all. He first of all said, "I consider them as nothing. They are zeros to me." And then he said, "I count them as dung, manure, sewage. They mean nothing to me. They are worthless. I have one ambition. I want to know Christ. I want to be like Him. I want to share in Him. I want to be filled with Him." And that resulted in Paul having a deep sense of koinonia. You read his letters. We just finished reading together this week, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, in which he expresses deep koinonia feelings for those people. He spoke of his intense longing for fellowship with them. He declared that they are his reason for living, his joy, the worth of his life. How many of you consider other believers to be the worth of your life? He also declared that nothing less than satanic opposition could keep him from being with other Christians. I can't tell you how many times through my ministry I've heard someone say to me, "The Lord willing, I'll be with you on Sunday." How many of you heard someone say something like that? "The Lord willing, I'll be with you." Well, the fact is, the Lord is willing. It's Satan who is unwilling. And so if you aren't, it is because he got the upper hand. The Lord is always willing that you be with other believers. Always. And Paul said, "We wanted to come so desperately and be with you, but Satan prevented us." Make sure that if you aren't with other believers, it's because you are in spiritual warfare and not because of your own choice and decision. Why does koinonia matter so much? Why does it matter so much that you and I be devoted to the fellowship? Why does it matter so much that we be filled with the Holy Spirit and be attracted beyond ourselves to being with one another? It is because koinonia reveals whether or not we are really in Christ, or whether something else is in us, exerting influence over us. It reveals whether we are filled with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will always draw us beyond ourselves to Christ in love to one another. Amen. Koinonia determines our genuineness as Christians. Are we truly a Christ follower? It is the measure of our worth and our value to Christ. And when you and I surrender ourselves to the koinonia of the Holy Spirit, we see here in Acts that something amazing happens. People are attracted to Christ. The world is drawn to Jesus. And that is the ultimate worth and value of our lives. You know, when we stand before Christ, Moravia Assembly of God will stand before Christ. And we will be evaluated on whether or not people were attracted to Christ through us. We will be evaluated as a church on how devoted we were to the Lord Jesus Christ. We will be evaluated on whether or not we were filled with the Holy Spirit or whether we were filled with other identities, koinonias, engagements, and we had little or no time for the body of Christ, the work of Christ, the witness of Christ. You can go somewhere else like Jonah and go to another church. Guess what? That church will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ too. Every church, every person to give an account. On that day, we want to hear him say, "Well done." We don't want to hear him say that you did it your own way. That's not worth anything to me. We want to hear him say, "You did it my way. You were surrendered to me as Lord." I don't know about you. I want to see people added to the church. Not because I want to see a big church. I'm not a big church pastor. I want to see people getting saved. I want to see people coming to know Jesus Christ. I want to see people walking through the door, and you are here, overflowing with love because you are filled with the Holy Spirit. I can't tell you how many stories I read, especially of Muslims coming to know Christ, and what they encounter when they walked in to a group of Christians was the overflowing, supernatural impact of the love of Christ. Where we have been, what we are filled with, will determine whether or not people experience Christ and are drawn to him. May it be that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. May it be that we are truly people devoted to the koinonia, a place where the Holy Spirit can attract people to Christ. Amen. Let's pray. So, Father, I pray, first of all, that you gave us ears to hear, yes, that we wanted to hear by the help of the Holy Spirit, yes, that we wanted to understand, that we wanted to be guided into all truth. Amen. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you will make us determined through the help of the Holy Spirit to retain the word that we have heard today. Friends, when we walk out of here today, Satan will do all that he can to steal the seed that was sown. And he will do everything he can this week to keep you disengaged from Christ and time with other believers, to keep you away from the Word, to keep you away from times of prayer and personal worship. Everything he can to choke out the word of today. The last thing he wants is to see people coming to know Jesus Christ. The last thing he wants is for our lives to attract Jesus. The last people to Jesus. The last thing he wants is for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that that will not be the case. Will not be the case. Cause today's word to bear fruit in our lives. Fill us with the love that the Holy Spirit brings so that everything that we read today is not just words on a page, but is what is experienced in our lives. What others experience when they encounter us. What happens when we come together. What draws the world. Let me pause just a moment in this prayer and say, I'm sure you have noticed that I've had a difficult time preaching today. It's been hard to preach this message. It's true for a number of reasons, but this has been a difficult message to preach today. It is obviously a word that Satan does not want to be rooted in our lives and bear fruit. Yes. Friends, he wants to keep us just like we are. Coming together the way that we currently do, no more. He doesn't need us to be less. He just needs us to stay who we are and what we are so that people will not be attracted to Christ. He doesn't care how many churches there are, as long as they aren't filled with the Holy Spirit, as long as people are doing things their own way in following Christ. The last thing he wants is a church that is committed to the agenda of Jesus, dead to self, living beyond themselves, full of the Holy Spirit, and wanting to be like the Church of Acts. It's our choice. It's our choice. Lord, I pray that we will aid and abet the Holy Spirit. I pray that none of us will do what is suitable or convenient to us. But Jesus, we will take up our cross, die to self, live beyond ourselves. And live for the joy of being who you have called us to be. And so, Holy Spirit, I commit this word to you because you're the only one that can cause it to bear fruit in our lives. I've said all I can say. I've explained it with the best meaning that I could give it. I pray that your people will understand, will retain it,
yes,
and by persevering in it, will produce a rich harvest.
Praise the Lord. Yes.
Go with us this week.
Praise.
Help us to live as people who have been brought into koinonia with you.
Yes, Lord.
And with one another.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, I pray.